welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and it is great to be with you here on Holy Spirit Radio once again. We got a great show for you today. I will tell you more about it after we kick things off in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the start of a new day and to a new week. Help us to see you in everyone that we meet, in everything that happens to us today. Father, we ask that you give us the grace that we need to face any problem, any situation, any challenge that we encounter today. We lift up all of our friends, all of our family. We lift up our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for world peace. We pray for all of those who are homeless or who may be homebound. And I ask you to speak through us on the program today. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's a rainy Monday, but we are here to brighten your day. We got a great show for you today on Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be here once again. It really is. I just love doing the show. I drove through the rain today, but looking around in the studio, it's nice and bright in here.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a minute. Today on the show, Connie Rossini is going to be here. She is the author, along with Dan Burke, of the new book, The Contemplative Rosary. Also, Bear Wozniak is going to be here. It's been a long time since Bear's been on the show. He will be joining us as well. Okay, I said it's bright in here, and I was looking at you, Dave Parker.
Well, I have my Hawaiian kind of shirt on anyways. Hi, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning. You had quite an adventure this weekend. You drove through some rain.
Oh, yes, from around Baltimore yesterday afternoon. And when we left, and it wasn't coming down, and maybe within 10, 15 minutes of going north on 95, it was a deluge. It got thicker, worse as we headed to Philly. And a lot of people were out this weekend, you know, out and about.
That's brutal to drive in rain. It just wears you out.
Yeah, they were out going south and north on Friday in the blue sky and everything else, and they were also coming home in this rain. So it was, God was protecting us.
Good. I'm glad you made it back safely.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. Nice and relaxing. We celebrated my daughter's birthday. Mary and Elizabeth turned 20 on Friday, so we celebrated the birthday. Had a great weekend.
Happy birthday, girls.
And we had an Eagles victory yesterday, Frank Eliasson. I see you've got your jersey on. I've got my Eagles
shirt.
That's right.
And you got Devil Dogs.
Did you see that?
I saw the Devil Dogs. chocolate fudge-covered Devil Dogs.
It's like, where are they now?
All right, so I'm in the supermarket. I had to put that on Facebook. I mean, as if Devil Dogs couldn't get any better. Now they're covering them with fudge. Oh, man.
I saw that, too.
They were really good.
But it was an incredible sports weekend. Although, for Penn State fans, that was certainly a crushing ending to that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still a fun sports weekend when you have close games like that. Yeah. The Eagles win yesterday, you know, was not the prettiest of wins. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you had the rain. You had really just a team that really wasn't doing that well. Yeah. Eagles passed. Mm-hmm. They would have found ways to lose to a team like that.
You're right.
That's what I was thinking the whole time.
And this is a game where, you know, you're playing your B game. You're not playing your best game, and you still won 33-10? I stopped watching it, actually.
Yeah, I did, too, toward the end.
Yeah. So, you know, that makes for a fun day to have the Eagles victory. Looking at 7-1, and, like, right now, the team to beat in the NFL.
I know.
Which is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. But you're right. In years past, this would have been a trap game.
Yeah.
Right? Because they get a little cocky, and they're going to, you know, the team that they have to, that no doubt they'll win over, they'll lose to.
That's right.
That's what's...
Yeah.
So
let down their guard a little bit. Yeah,
We're true Philadelphia fans.
We are. It's been a long time.
It's kind of funny to listen to like all the different announcers and like around the league and stuff like that. The team to beat the Eagles. Who?
Remember when?
I was going to say,
there was another big sports event last night.
Oh, World Series.
Yes. World Series.
All right. I don't know though. I didn't catch the whole game, but 13-12.
Yeah. I woke up to that. I mean, to that.
You know, like, that just seems that. You know, we're getting out of baseball at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it at that point.
I know. Well, it was,
starting to play cricket?
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought it was – I saw some of the game, and then I had to turn it off because we got back late and all that kind of stuff. And then tomorrow is, what, the sixth game?
Sixth game. Houston's up 3-2.
I'm going to watch that. Yeah. I mean, now everybody's in crunch time, and it's like, the Astros are going to do it. I don't know. The Dodgers, they're tough.
They are.
Come back.
But, it would be great for that city with everything they've been through in the past year.
Good point.
Just love to be able to see them have that victory.
Yeah, I hear you. Who are you rooting for again? But, yes, hey, thank you for listening to Spirit in the Morning Sports.
as you were talking about Houston, anyway. I neglected to pray for something during the prayers there. I was watching the news last night, and Puerto Rico, it's like 20% of the country of Puerto Rico still only has power or something.
That's right.
And it's going to be months.
Yeah.
It's unimaginable.
Exactly. And how important electric is to us. And
oh my gosh.
To have to be dealing with that. And I know in some of the cities it's starting to come up. The problem is a lot of people there live away from the cities in other parts.
In the rural parts.
The rural parts and certainly power getting there and the infrastructure was just totally wiped out.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to continue to pray for.
It's unimaginable.
The problem to it is, as the news cycle changes, stuff like that becomes old.
Exactly.
And we don't pay attention
and
to it.
Exactly. Favor, and so that we're on to the next, shiny object in the news or objects.
Yeah.
And so they go by the wayside, but they're still in dire need.
Oh, my gosh. And they were showing people sitting outside trying to keep cool.
That's right.
I mean, it's not exactly cool there either. And they said their original estimate was maybe by December to get 95% of the power back. Yeah. But now that's up in the air, too. So
that's
now they're not sure they'll make that. Incredible.
It is incredible. And, I feel for the people there.
Yeah,
we definitely have to pray for them, for everything that they're going through and all the things that, the challenges that happen from not having electric and, the protections you have, being able to have your light on at night, and stuff like that. It's a stupid little thing.
Yeah. The creature comforts that we're so accustomed to.
Yeah. But the world, we have to do more for it.
You're right, and again, getting back to Houston, I'm sure they're still reeling to a certain extent. And like Dave said, the news cycle changes. We move on, we forget about them, but yet there are people who are really hurting. And then we have the homeless people in our own city.
Absolutely,
right? I mean, it's pouring rain out there. There are people who have nowhere to live. So, just it's good to the gospel yesterday reminded us that we need to take care of one another.
Absolutely. Love your God and love your neighbor.
Yeah, it's so important. So I just thought that's worthy of mention. Current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, 46 degrees, light rain and breezy today. We're going to have showers, high near 56. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 46. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 60. At the moment in Westchester, it's 43 degrees. In Quakertown, 43 degrees. And in Southampton, PA, it's 47 degrees.
Oh, the town I grew up in.
Didn't realize that.
Yes, I grew up in Southampton.
Very interesting.
Very useless fact.
Hey, by the way.
That was my department. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. So we have Dave here. Remember?
You're competing with me. All right, I'll have to dig deep for this one. Okay.
I was going to say, yesterday at Mass, we had Little Sisters of the Poor were there speaking, and it was just a quick shout-out to them, and all the great work they're doing to help the community and give people a place to be cared for, whether it be early in life or end of life, and there's any time in between. So as we were talking about Puerto Rico, that's something that really touched me, listening to them during the homily yesterday.
Yes. And one quick shout-out, Barb and I and Maddie and Liam went to St. Augustine's Parish, or Parish Community in Elk Ridge, Maryland. And it's really close. So we do that every time we're down there. A beautiful parish.
Very good. Very good. Let's do the gospel, boys, now. The gospel is from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath. And a woman was there who for 18 years had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over, completely incapable of standing erect. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and she at once stood up straight and glorified God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, said to the crowd in reply, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day. The Lord said to him in reply, hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering? The daughter, this daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound for 18 years now, ought she not to have been set free on the Sabbath day from this bondage? When Jesus said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by him. Hmm. Here's an example of, again, and, you know, I don't want to point fingers just at this guy, because we all do the same thing at times. Mm-hmm. Jesus healed this woman, and he said, yeah, but never mind, he shouldn't have done it on the Sabbath.
Exactly. Right? Yes.
There's, yeah, there's always one in every crowd,
it was,
right?
There's only a major miracle, you know? But yeah, they had to go to the law, you know, as they so often did, and to call him out, but catch him in a trap.
But it's things we often do.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
We do it all the time. We do it whether it be towards our Pope or towards a priest or towards each other. You know, I think it's sometimes easiest to judge and, you know, and throw that out there as opposed to, mm-hmm, you know, understanding what is going on and, you know, why.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and the good out of it.
And how the Lord can work through anybody. And a lot of times, I mean, I'm guilty of this sometimes. Somebody I know will do something, mm-hmm, good, and I'll say, oh, yeah, but he's a hypocrite. I mean, he's just doing that to show off or something. I mean, completely.
You Pharisee. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, I think we all just need to look at ourselves.
We're so often a Pharisee, you know, in the context of what that means. You know, yeah, only by the law, and if anybody does a miracle or and something good, yeah, we always, yeah. You know, we're cynical. We get cynical.
Yeah.
I've been there.
It's human nature in many ways. But, you know, I think sometimes it's good to step back and just take that quick look in the mirror.
Yes.
You know, what are things I could do? What are things I can learn? Mm. And I think that by doing so, you know, I think you can make yourself a better person. And pausing. I think, you know, we look at this social media-filled society. You know, we don't pause. Mm-hmm. We don't take that time to step back. You know, we put it all out there in different ways.
You know, as we go to break, I have to laugh, Frank, because here the Eagles, 7-1, they won yesterday, and we're saying, oh, yeah, but wait. You know, in the back of our mind, it's Philly.
You guys must be from Philadelphia.
Judging.
That's right. When we come back, Connie Rossini is going to talk about the contemplative rosary. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 30th. Today we celebrate Saint Alphonsus Rodriguez. Tragedy and challenge beset today's saint early in life, but Alphonsus Rodriguez found happiness and contentment through simple service and prayer. Born in Spain in 1533, Alphonsus inherited his family's textile business at 23. Within the space of 3 years, his wife, daughter, and mother had died and business was poor. Reassessing his life, Alphonsus sold the business and moved into his sister's home with his young son. There he learned the discipline of prayer and meditation. Years later, at the death of his son, Alphonsus sought to join the Society of Jesus. At a disadvantage because of his poor education, he applied twice before being admitted. For 45 years, he served as doorkeeper at the Jesuits' College in Mallorca. When not at his post, he was almost always at prayer, though he often encountered difficulties and temptations. His holiness and prayerfulness attracted many to him, including Peter Claver, then a Jesuit seminarian. A couple of centuries later, another fellow Jesuit, poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, made Alphonsus the subject of one of his poems. Regarded as the patron saint of Mallorca, Alphonsus died in 1617. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
stuff was stolen. Now you say that it ain't worth staying. You wanna run, but you're hesitating. I'm talking to me. So let the lights go. Chance to change it. There's a girl on the street, she's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Britt Nicole with The Lost Get Found. The time right now is 7:18. Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning. Well, we are joined now by the co-author of the book, The Contemplative Rosary, with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila. Along with our friend Dan Burke, Connie Rossini has written this book, which has risen to the top of the charts in the Amazon best-selling prayer book category. Connie, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning, Gary.
So glad to have you on the program today. Connie, I love the book. I think this is
thank you.
It's such a powerful topic. One of the struggles that I've always had and a passion of mine is better appreciating the rosary. I think that so many people, Connie, don't appreciate the rosary for the powerful weapon that it is.
Oh, I agree. And it's something that I also have always struggled with. I've known intellectually how powerful it is, but I haven't really felt it, and I haven't really seen it in my practice until, you know, really, Dan asked me to come on board and write this book with him. And then it's just been transformed since then.
That, you know, that's refreshing to hear you admit that, because I always felt bad about the fact that the rosary was almost a chore for me. I knew it was important, and I remember one time trying to get out of it, and I talked to my spiritual director, and I said, you know, I'm busy, I do a lot of things, I do a lot of writing, working for the Lord, and I don't have time to say my rosary, to pray my rosary. Is that okay? And my very holy priest spiritual director said, well, Gary, no, the rosary is very important, and you should try to continue to pray it. You know, but I tried to get out of it because I wasn't feeling anything. But Connie, this book changes that, and that's really the focus of the contemplative rosary. Before we get into that, can I ask you the difference between meditation and contemplation? Is there a difference?
Yes, there is. Meditation is something that we do ourselves.
Okay.
When we use our minds to try and focus on, in the rosary, it would be on the mysteries of the rosary. So mm-hmm. we're trying to, or in our own prayer time, we might read a passage of scripture, think about it, and then talk to God about it.
Okay.
That's meditation. Contemplation is the action of God. So it's really when St. James writes in his letter, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Contemplation is the part where God draws near to us.
Mm.
So when we've done everything that we can to prepare ourselves for a greater union with God,
mm-hmm.
he draws us into that union in a way that we could never attain on our own. So it's you are drawn into a heart-to-heart talk with God that is beyond words, even beyond what we can think or imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not something that we can produce through a method. It has to be something directly infused by the Holy Spirit.
Connie, you're highlighting something that's really powerful, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this, when we pray, we think that it's up to us to do all the work. In other words, I've got to say the right words, and I have to repeat them enough so that I get to the place where I need to be. But what we forget is that the Lord's working, too. He's responding when we have that encounter in prayer, correct?
Yes, and sometimes when we feel like we've done nothing in prayer,
mm-hmm.
like prayer has been really dry and unfruitful,
yeah.
God may be working, you know, more strongly than ever in our souls. And so our prayer, as long as we are doing the best that we can do, it's never a waste of time.
That's good to know, because a lot of times when I pray, even still, there are times I just don't feel anything, but that's okay. I've learned to persist in those times. Connie, what is Mary's role? When we pray the rosary, we're focusing on the life of Christ. What is Mary's role in the rosary?
Well, St. John Paul II called the rosary the school of Mary,
mm-hmm.
and he said that when we pray the rosary, we are really seeing the life of Christ through her eyes. So we are journeying along with her, and it's like she is telling us all about what she meditated on
at
the different points in the life of Jesus. So we can listen to her, learn from her about Christ, and she's always telling us, do whatever he tells
you.
Yeah,
yeah. Wow, that is a really powerful concept. Now, the idea of contemplative rosary, I can imagine some of our listeners are saying, well, that's too deep for me. Contemplation, I'm not at that level. Is this book designed for beginners? Is it designed for those who are advanced spiritually? Or is it designed for both?
Both.
Ah.
You know, people who are just starting to pray the rosary can learn about each of the rosary prayers and start praying it well from the very beginning. Those of us who have been praying it for a long time and maybe have picked up some bad habits or need a rejuvenation of it, this is for us too, to get us to pray the rosary in a deeper, more prayerful manner.
Well, I'm going to tell you that this book has helped me, and I've been praying the rosary for a long time, so I want to thank you and Dan for writing it, because it has really been helpful, and I'm grateful that you guys wrote it.
Well, thank you. You know, my family uses it every day, from my teenage kids up to my mom, so, yeah, I know my own life, I just feel like I never felt a lot of emotion in praying the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a duty. And now I feel close to Mary. So I think it can do that for everyone.
When I was looking last night, it was the number one best-selling book in the Christian prayer category. I mean, that's pretty impressive, Connie.
Yeah, it's, you know, all glory to God.
Yeah.
I mean, not really anything we did. It's just people are hungry for, you know, they love the rosary and they want to be able to pray it better.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys are really doing great work. You're touching many people. The way the book works, and I highly recommend this book, it is from EWTN Publishing. Initially, you explain some of the details about the contemplation and the rosary, which are it's very easy to read. And then you go through each of the mysteries. Now, briefly, I just want to highlight the Annunciation, the first joyful mystery. First, you have a scripture passage for each one of the mysteries. You have the fruit of the mystery. In the case of the Annunciation, the fruit of the mystery is humility. And then you have some reflections afterward. Now, Connie, one of them for this, for the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, just hit me like a sledgehammer, and I want to share this. You said, God lowered himself to become an embryo. Thus, we raise ourselves above God when we refuse service that is, quote, unquote, beneath us. Oh, that was painful, Connie. You hurt me with that one.
Well, I hope that it not only hurts you, but helps you to, you know, motivates you. We try to, in each of the helps that we have, whether it's the paintings or the scripture verses or the reflections or the concluding prayer, include things that are really going to draw us towards gazing with adoration on the face of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll have reflections on the rosary that are more intellectual. We try to do things that are really going to move your heart to make some changes in your life so that you might be more closely united with God.
Well, you do a great job. The book is The Contemplative Rosary by Dan Burke and Connie Rossini. Connie, where is the best place to pick up a copy of the book?
Well, we'd love you to use the EWTN catalog so that you can also support EWTN. But your local bookstore probably has it. Local Catholic bookstore, all online retailers would have it as well.
Very good. And we're going to have a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com. But, you know, also, I'm a big fan of the work that you do. And where can we follow you online?
Well, my blog is contemplativehomeschool.com. Even though it says homeschool, it's really for the whole family to grow closer to Christ. So most of my posts are directed towards teaching adults about the spiritual life. I'm also on Facebook, and I hang out on Facebook a lot these days. I have a group there that's called Authentic Contemplative Prayer, so if people are interested in learning more about contemplation, they can ask to join that group also.
Well, thank you for all that you do. And, you know, this is the first time we've gotten to speak, and it's great because, you know, I endorsed your first book, Trusting God with St. Therese. It's a fantastic book. You do great work, and you are helping me personally to become closer to Christ, and for that I want to thank you, my friend.
Well, you're welcome, and I thank you for that endorsement. I've got the picture of the book right here, and I very much appreciated that.
Well, it's great work. Connie, it's great to speak with you. Thanks again for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you, Gary.
All right. Connie Rossini, when we come back, it's time for the Bear. Bear Wozniak will be here. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump's National Security Brain Trust is set to testify on the need for a new war authorization as the deadly ambush in Niger spurs a push among lawmakers to update the legal parameters for combat operations overseas. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will appear before the Foreign Relations Committee in an open hearing today. They told the panel behind closed doors 3 months ago that a 2001 law gave the military ample authority. The Knights of Columbus have praised the announcement by Vice President Mike Pence last week that the Trump administration would work directly with faith-based organizations to help persecuted Christians in the Middle East. The Vice President made the announcement last week in a keynote address at the Solidarity Dinner sponsored by the organization in defense of Christians, saying that the United Nations efforts had been ineffective. The UK Catholic Herald reports that Supreme Knight Carl Anderson responded to the announcement saying, quote, "A year ago, the United States used the right word to describe what was happening to Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East. That word was genocide. Tonight, those words were put into action," end quote. And Pope Francis this weekend spoke to a conference sponsored by the European bishops on the contribution of Christians to the future of Europe. The Holy Father said it's important to consider our task as Christians today by looking to the contributions of Christians in the past, saying Christians can help the European people remember that Europe is not just a mass of statistics, but is made up of people, and can help Europeans recover a sense of belonging to a community. He said, quote, "Person and community are thus the foundations of the Europe that we as Christians want and can contribute to building. The bricks of this structure are dialogue, inclusion, solidarity, development, and peace," end quote. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Hey, this is Teresa Peterson, and I'm really excited to share with you that I'm recording a new album. Over the last few years, I've been traveling across the country, speaking and singing and praying with you all, and I've been overwhelmed by your support, but really God's faithfulness. It's been incredible to see hearts open, lives changed, and really to witness deeper conversion with the simple gift of music. And it's that witness that has really inspired this next project, which is going to be a tribute to God's faithfulness. And I would really like for you to be a part of it. I would love for you to come alongside me where we together can help praise the name of the Lord and help the heart of the Lord be praised, adored, and loved.
Now, Teresa Peterson is a local Catholic musical artist, and she's in the process of raising funds for her new album, Faithful. To learn more, visit TeresaPetersonMusic.com.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I lost my keys in the great unknown, and call me please, 'cause I can't find my phone. This is the stuff that drives me crazy. This is the stuff that's getting
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was This is the Stuff by Francesca Battistelli. Well, it's been a long time since we have had the opportunity to visit with our friend Bear Wozniak. You can hear his program Deep Adventure Radio every Saturday on Holy Spirit Radio at 6 p.m. Bear joins us right now. Hey, brother, what's going on?
Hey, man, aloha. I'm looking at a beautiful sunrise right now. Bright orange coming over the ocean. Just gorgeous.
Well, we are looking at rain and dreary conditions here in the Philadelphia area. I'm jealous.
That's not right.
I'm jealous, brother.
Philadelphia. I don't know about that.
Hey, Bear, what's been going on? You've been busy.
We've been real busy. We took a trip over to Europe for a month, scouting out a couple places for season 3 and season 5 of our TV show, Long Ride Home. And we also took a little bit of a vacation to the Greek islands. So it's been real busy. Had a some pretty powerful experiences over there, though.
And you had some health issues, too, that we had to pray you through.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Man.
I was concerned about you, brother, but you just kept going.
I was able to fulfill my mission, but it took its toll. And I was reading, I sent a GIF out to the guys in the Bears Man Cave, Steve McQueen, a picture of him. They're asking him, so he was riding his motorcycle, and they asked him, so how are the brakes? And he goes, don't know, never used them. You know, sometimes in life, you got to put the brakes on, take a little bit of a break. But I feel really revived now, and kind of was good kind of, when I came back, I had to take about 2 weeks and just shut down and get better. But the trip was adventurous, though. It was a great, great trip.
And you know, Bear, shutting down is not easy for you. I know you. You're not the type of guy that likes to shut down. But sometimes I think we all need to do that. I think the Lord sometimes speaks to us and reminds us that, hey, we are not ultimately in control.
I learned that lesson.
Yeah, it was a tough one, right?
I was getting beside myself. I couldn't even pray. I couldn't have my hour of meditation and prayer. I would just like drift off to sleep, and I couldn't surf. So I was like, got to the point where when I started feeling better, I was like a raging caged bear just walking around the house, but not able to do anything yet. But yeah, it teaches you that you're vulnerable, you know, that you have to rely on God's will and God's power for sure.
You mentioned, you texted me before the show, and you said you wanted to talk about caves. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. What's the deal? I know you're doing the man cave, but what is this new fascination with caves?
Well, the Bear's Man Cave is that private Facebook group. People can join it by going to deepadventureministries.com. But yeah. Men only.
Okay.
It's just like one of those books that just fell into your brain, and a split second later you have the whole book.
Yep.
All the different caves, and you think of G.K. Chesterton, his writings in Everlasting Man about the prehistoric man and the art and the beauty you saw in his prehistoric caves, and I saw them in Bandelier, New Mexico, this summer. You know, where they would draw, and it's definitely an artistic flair in the human. You know, transcendent, spiritual, rational soul, and then also they do their depictions. Thinking about God, and then there's Plato's cave, and then there's, of course, the ultimate man cave is the cave Jesus died and was resurrected from. And there's the cave of the Nativity. There's the cave of the Grottos, but the cave that I mentioned to you in the text was the cave of Abdullah.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Well, that is the coolest thing, and I think this is where especially men will really identify with this. That's the cave where David, when King Saul was chasing him, wanting to kill him, David fled to the wilderness to this big cave, the cave of Adullam. And what it says is that men who were misfits, who owed money,
whoa,
basically, I think of all the biker guys that like to follow me. We all kind of feel if you're a man in the world today and you act like a man, you feel like a bit of a misfit. You know, you don't feel like you're in a world that really gets you. But all these men gathered themselves to David, 400 men, and that became the core of his army.
Wow.
So God, you know, if you're a man and you're listening to this and you feel all out of sorts, and sometimes you cuss, and sometimes you're gruff and impatient and sometimes you live a life a little bit too large and you're not living a life of prudence. That's the guy God's looking for. You know, get that guy to come to the cave. Spend some time with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the military,
right,
you get trained. David trained them, developed them in virtue and strength. you know, and agility and ability, you know, to be warriors. But come to the cave of Adullam. Come to the cave and let God teach you. Come to God's training academy. And if you're a misfit, you're the guy God's looking for.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the beautiful thing about a cave is we have that solitude with the Lord. And you're not going to ever grow closer to Him unless you make that time for solitude with Him.
Yeah, you need that. You know, that's the Elijah cave.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, the cave of Adullam had that element too, but it was a cave where you gathered with other men. You know, if you're a man and you're out there and you're being the Lone Ranger, find other good men, only maybe just two others, mm-hmm. and have coffee with them every week, or meet at a pub for a drink once a week or something. Don't talk about politics. Talk about the grittiness of your life and get real with each other. But I guess I just feel really encouraged just to challenge them. If you're one of those guys that sees yourself like you're a square peg in a round hole and you just don't seem to fit when you go to Mass, it just doesn't feel quite right, actually, that's exactly where you need to be. And so if you don't feel like you're just, you know, I don't know how to say it. When I was in Rome, I saw those statues, you know, the saints up above by St. Peter's. And they were masculine looking. Mm-hmm. They were looking down at you with a kind of a determined look on their face and like, let's do this, you know. And so we're looking for those men that, you know, who in this world, if you know what I mean by masculine guy, I mean someone who is virtue, you know, who has determination, who knows that he's to be a servant leader. We're looking for those guys and encouraging them. Come to the cave of Adullam. Come to the cave of prayer. Come and gather with other men. Let them form you and help form them. And let's become a force again. Let's become that small army of 400 men, you know, like a Gideon-type army, and let's change the world.
Bear, why is it you think men have a hard time with this? I know we're getting better, but for the most part, men don't find this bonding thing easy, especially when it comes to matters of faith.
I don't know, Gary. You and I became friends immediately.
I know. But yeah, I know guys who don't want anything to do with this. You know, I don't do that religion stuff. But
they think it's a girl thing.
I think you're right, brother.
They think it's a sign of weakness, but really, this was an army that was being formed. And when you look at when you go to season 5, we're going to ride our motorcycles all through Italy, and we're going to visit what they call the threshold of the apostles. We're going to go to every tomb of the apostles that are in Italy. There's, I think, 10 of them are there. And these men laid their lives down. These men went on, you know, hike heavy mountains, were shipwrecked, were tortured, they're the toughest, grittiest guys that you could ask for. Mm. And if you're living a Christian walk that doesn't demand grittiness and toughness, you're probably not really walking the walk.
Wow. Yeah, good message, my friend. Good message. So what's next on your schedule? What are you doing now?
Oh, I hate to tell you. I have to go to Hawaii for a few weeks.
Oh, you poor thing. You gonna be okay?
Well, actually, you know, I'm gonna go there to get strong again. Because this cold took it out of me, so I'm gonna go there. And they wanted to take some pictures of me for my new website and stuff. They go, guys, you don't want to take a picture of me right now, trust me. So we're going to go out there and do a photo shoot, get strong again and get a photo shoot, because we're doing a whole new website thing, of course, as everybody always is. And but yeah, that's the next thing. And then I'm working on the book, The Man Cave. We're going to talk about all the different caves. Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Remind us where we can find you online. I know the website's going to be changing, but right now, where are you at?
Well, the easiest thing is bearwasnick.com.
Okay.
You know, there, if you go there, if you love our TV show, Long Ride Home, the Motorcycle Reality Show on EWTN, we just got all of our DVDs in. So if people want to get the 10 DVD set, they can go there to get it.
Great, great. BearWasnick.com. Hey, brother, it's great catching up with you again. I really appreciate you making time for us.
You bet, Z-Man. Talk to you later.
All right. God bless you, my friend. That's Bear Wozniak. Boy, it's always good to hear from him. It's been a while since he's been on the show, Dave.
Yeah, I miss that voice.
I know. He was really sick when he was overseas.
I understand that.
He was really struggling. I think he was twice in the hospital, but he muscled through.
Absolutely. I like what he just said. I mean, if you're not feeling any grittiness in your walk or your journey, then it's easy, too easy.
Yeah.
You know, for a man.
That's right. Okay? That's right. So Anyway, check out Bear Wozniak, bearwozniak.com. And don't forget to listen to Deep Adventure Radio right here on Holy Spirit Radio every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. All right, when we come back, we have on this rainy Monday a special surprise guest. We have a surprise guest who's going to be joining us. I hope you can stick around for more of Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:45. And when we come back from break, we're going to have a surprise guest joining us. You don't want to miss this. Grab yourself another cup of coffee and get ready because we're coming right back.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
See the smoke from a mile away, and trouble always draws a crowd. They want to tell me that it'll be okay, but that's not what I need right now. Not while my house is burning down. I know someday, I know somehow I'll be okay, but not right now, not right now. Tell me if the hope that you know is true ever feels like a light from a friend. When the words are salt in an open wound, and they just can't seem to understand that you haven't even stopped the bleeding yet. I know someday, I know someday, sit with me in the ashes here, and together we can pray for peace to the one acquainted with our grief. I know someday, I know someday, no, not right now.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Not Right Now by Jason Gray. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. But we've had a good show today. We were joined earlier in the show by Connie Rossini. We talked about the Contemplative Rosary, her new book. We were joined by Bear Wozniak. And we are working to get our special guest on the phone. We're having some technical issues right now. I'll tell you what, this is probably going to be a good interview because we are facing some challenges. Let's take a quick look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today it comes from Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. What is St. Paul talking about here? Essentially what he's saying is that we are allowed, through our suffering, by offering up our suffering, to share in Christ's mission of redemption. So we can help him. He lets us do that. And the reason I included that in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and we're featuring it as our Be Not Afraid Bible verse today, is one of the powerful features of suffering is that it shouldn't be wasted. And when we realize that our suffering can be redemptive, whatever it is you're going through, if you can offer it up to the Lord and let him use it, that's going to make it that much more bearable and also meaningful. So essentially what St. Paul is not saying here is that Christ's mission on the cross was not complete. What he's saying is that as members of his body, the church, we are able to unite our suffering with his. So that's Colossians 1:24. That is one of my favorite verses. And it's one that we should all keep in mind, especially when it comes to suffering. When it comes to suffering, Colossians 1:24, unite your suffering with the sufferings of Christ. All right, I think I have my mystery guest on the phone right now, and she is here to talk about, and this is going to be a great interview because we have struggled to make this happen. We are joined now by our good friend, Johnette Benkovic. Johnette, how are you?
Well, Gary, I cannot tell you how good it is to hear your voice. My goodness sakes.
Johnette, we worked at this one. We worked at getting you on. I apologize for any of the confusion about having you on the show. But I wanted to get you on because this is the month of October. The month of the Rosary. And
That's right. You
have written, along with our friend Tom Sullivan, a new book called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. It is a weapon, right?
Well, you know, the rosary is a weapon, and I don't think that we look at it that way.
Right.
And, of course, we know it's a weapon because so many of our holy fathers have told us so. And in addition to our holy fathers, also, so many of the great saints have told us the same thing.
Yeah.
And we see that in its earliest days, you know, when Our Blessed Lady entrusted the rosary to St. Dominic, she gave it to him because it was a key moment in the history of the church. The Albigensian heresy was raging wildly through especially the ecclesial structure of the church. And so she came and she gave him this rosary. And implicit in that, of course, you know, Gary, is the reality that when this rosary was entrusted to him, she was saying to him, this is the prayer to pray.
Mm.
And, of course, we can far forward all the way to more contemporary times. We've just celebrated the beautiful anniversary year of Our Lady of Fatima,
right.
The 100th anniversary year, and we know that she told the children that this was it was necessary to pray the rosary every day, and she stressed that fact every day. And the reason for that was because the challenges that were coming and had in some cases already come to the world of man were unprecedented, and they were great, and they were wild. And we've only seen that become exacerbated in our own day and time. Finally, I would say that we were reminded by Our Lady through an apparition that Sister Lucia received long after the apparitions at Fatima had ceased, and now Sister Lucia at this time is a Carmelite religious. She tells her that the final attack of the enemy against the people of God and the church, and of course I would say all of society, would be against marriage and the family.
Mm.
And again, you know, we are reminded of the fact of the opportunity that we have to stem the tide of these kinds of things if we but heed the word that heaven's giving us to pray the rosary. It is the weapon for spiritual warfare, especially, I think, at this moment in the history of man.
I totally agree. And if we look at the world, Jeanette, the world is kind of a messy place at the present time. And we want to see peace. We see division. Sometimes even in our own families, we have needs in our own lives. The rosary is a proven method for turning to Our Lady and asking her to intercede. I mean, wars have been stopped because of the rosary.
That's right. And, you know, I have to say, you know, Gary, that I do think that we're living in a very unique moment, not just in the history of mankind, but really in God's plan for the world and for each one of us. And we're being asked to step up to the plate now as the mystical body of Christ and to come underneath this mantle of Our Blessed Lady and to become members of her holy army, called by God for this moment to cooperate with her in a unique way in bringing about the graces that God wants for us to receive. And Our Lady is mediatrix of all grace. And I think that, you know, and this is just supposition on John F. Bankovic's part, you know, so we have to always put it underneath that context. But it seems to me that in my life of prayer, there is a sense of the fact that Our Lady wants to share with us one of her most exalted titles, and that is Mother of the Church. She's calling us, incorporating us into her spiritual mission as spiritual mother to all of the faithful of God to do great things at this moment in history. I think that we would do well to heed that word, to give fiat to that word, and to enter into that word.
And, Jeanette, I know you're very busy, and I really appreciate you making the time for us. And we're almost up against the end of the program. But your book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, would you recommend that for just people who are advanced in praying the rosary? Or how about for beginners? Would this be a good book for beginners as well?
It's a great book for everybody, no matter where you are in your spiritual development. And why is that? It's because it puts the rosary into the context of battle. Mm-hmm. It helps us to understand how efficacious it's been in the past. It also helps us to pray the rosary better. And it catalogs for us numbers of holy men and women whose own life example tells us and shows us that great things can happen when we say yes to God.
Jeanette, now I'm going to speak as Gary Zimek for a minute. I think, and this is just my opinion, that the reason people don't pray the rosary, and I've met many people who say, I don't have time for the rosary, or I get nothing out of it, I think it's because they don't think it's effective. And I think, right? I mean, because otherwise they'd pray it.
Well, isn't it funny? You know, the greatest things of God come about through the simplest of responses back to Him. And we don't know how God works. We don't really know how the spiritual realities and spiritual principles work. What we do know is that when we are obedient to His request, tremendous things always happen. And that's what we're called to be, is obedient. It doesn't matter how complex or how simplistic it may seem.
Yeah.
God works. When we say yes to Him, we see those marvels happening.
There you go. And that's so true. Jeanette, where's the best place to pick up a copy of your new book?
Well, I would tell you that you can get it just about anywhere. Of course, it's available on our website, womenofgrace.com, but EWTN's religious catalog also has it. It's available readily through booksellers, you know, via the Internet. So it is abundantly available, and it's doing very well, and I think once people pick it up, Gary, they're going to see why.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. It's part of my daily spiritual reading, and I want to thank you for writing it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and always great to be a guest on your program. You're doing wonderful things for the kingdom of God, Gary, and I'm proud to call you friend.
Aw, thank you so much. And again, sorry for the technical glitches, but we're so glad we're able to get you on the air, Jeanette.
Well, what a pleasure and grace for me. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. We'll talk to you again soon. Jeanette Bankovic. Dave Parker, I'm tired.
Yeah, I know, the guy
who should be tired, man. You made this happen.
Well, hey, something glitched on the phone. It worked out. The Holy Spirit was here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeanette, for coming on.
Tremendous. Very kind of her to do that because I know she's really busy.
Good job,
so,
Gary.
You got the message today on this Monday right here on Spirit in the Morning. Pray the rosary.
Absolutely.
Our Lady wants you to pray
the
rosary. That's right. Hey, thanks for joining us on the program. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you say hi. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating